Well, good morning. There were a couple other things I wanted to touch on before I moved into the message today. A couple of them have absolutely nothing. I don't know if they have any. There's no spiritual component to this one at all, but I just thought I just had to share it with you. I just read it. And maybe some of you can appreciate this one, maybe not. There was this guy, he was watching TV as his wife was out cutting the grass during the hot summer. He went out and he asked his wife what was for supper. Well, his wife was quite irritated about him sitting in the air-conditioned house all day while she's mowing the lawn, so he shot back, well, think of me as dead and do what you would do if I was. So he went back in the house and he fixed himself a big steak, a baked potato, and a large glass of iced tea. Well, she walked in about the time he was finishing up and asked him, so, you fixed something to eat. Where's mine? He answered, I thought you were dead. Okay, so it's not funny. I laughed. We have, just today, we've had Steve Swanson join us on staff. Here he's working with the youth. It's a part-time paid position. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, we don't have a whole lot of youth necessarily right at the moment, and we don't have a whole lot of extra money. How or why are we going to do this? Well, I just want to read you a little something. And even though the task might be large, our God is larger. According to the Quartermaster General of the Army, it is reported that Moses would have had to have 1,500 tons of food each day. Remember, he had several million people he was feeding. Do you know that to bring that much food each day, two freight trains, each at least a mile long, would be required? Besides, you must remember, they were out in the desert. They would have to have firewood to use in the cooking of the food. This would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains, each mile long, just for one day. And just think, they were 40 years in transit. Oh yes, they would have had to have water. If they only had enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons each day. Remember, they had several million people. This is only talking like a little over like 2 gallons per person per day for total usage. Bathing, drinking, cooking, washing. Each day, and a freight train with tanker cars would be 1,800 miles long just to bring the water. Another thing, they had to get across the Red Sea at night. Well, now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, that line would be 800 miles long and require 35 days and nights to get through. So there had to be a space in the Red Sea 3 miles wide so that they walked 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. But then there's another problem. Each time they camped, at the end of the day, a campground two-thirds the size of the state of Rhode Island was required, for a total of 750 square miles. Think of it. This much space for camping. Brooklyn Center, just for you to note, is 3 miles square, which is 9 square miles. So, that's a big campground. Do you think Moses figured it all out before he left Egypt? I think not. You see, Moses believed in God. And God takes care of those who follow Him. So, let's just remember that. It doesn't absolve us of our job. Moses did plenty. But, turns out that he had the best quartermaster anybody could ask for. And so do we. One more little snippet to share with you. Just because it, in a roundabout way, does talk about what I'm going to be talking about, which is seeing. But not, we don't always see things the way they are. It all depends how we're looking at something in order to see it. But let me read this and you'll get what I mean, at least with this one. Congratulating a friend upon her son and daughter getting married within a month of each other, a woman asked, "What kind of boy did your daughter marry?" "Oh, he's wonderful," gushed the mother. "He lets her sleep late, wants her to go to the beauty parlor regularly, and insists upon taking her to dinner every night." "That's nice," said the woman. "What about your son?" "Oh, I'm not so happy about that," the mother sighed. "His wife sleeps late, spends all her time at beauty parlor, and she makes them eat out all their meals." So it's kind of, don't always see, we see things the way we'd like to. Okay. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We'll be looking at the 21st verse and following. If you've been reading the 25 days of Christmas, you've already read through portions of this. In Luke chapter 2, starting with the 21st verse, reads, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord.' And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Then Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord. They returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Every year his parents... Oh, sorry. Just getting carried away. I like that. I like the whole passage. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your words. We thank you that you've laid it out there for all mankind to see, your salvation. But Lord, give us the eyes to see what is going on. Give us the eyes to see your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not always easy to see the beginning events at the time that it's happening. Who would have guessed that a deranged corporal who happened to be in prison, writing a little book called Mein Kampf, would result in the death of millions of people in World War II. At that time, who would have looked at that little strange, quirky corporal and said, there is somebody who's going to change the world for the worse. There is somebody who's going to be responsible for killing millions of people. But yet, we see here at the time of Jesus' birth, we see this prophet, Simeon, who looks at this baby, says, that's the Christ. He sees him, and he understands what this baby represents. Now, he's not the first one to look at this child and say, there's the Christ. But you have another group that did that was the shepherds. Remember what they did? They had a bunch of angels come in and say, go to this town, go to Bethlehem, look for a manger that's got a little baby in it. That's the Christ. And they went and they saw it and they said, praise the Lord. But they didn't recognize this baby on their own. They had special guidance. They had an angel. Gabriel showed up and said, go over there, look. The Messiah. He's here. The Christ. Messiah and Christ, remember, are the same word. The one who brings salvation. But yet, we have Simeon, who sees this. Jesus is out there for all the world to see. Little baby in his parents' arms. Young boy growing up, a young man. But yet it's Simeon who looks at him, sees. Now the best example I can show you or lay out like this is one I can talk about because Chris isn't here right now. Their kids are downstairs practicing for the program some. But he and I have played a couple games of chess recently, and he's been really looking at it, studying his chess, and he's serious about it. He's gotten this computer program to teach chess. Well, part of it, it shows these masters games, these games between masters, these chess masters, and it says, okay, now finish the game. You know, brings it to a point. So the game is basically over at this point. You look at it and you go, I don't see it. I don't see how the game is over. And you have to study it. You study it. Whereas the chess master, if you had two chess masters playing against each other, they look at it at this point and they say, game's over, and they quit. Now you stand there or I stand there and I look at it and I go, I don't see it. I don't see how this game is over. Well, this one game, it was two moves from checkmate. Two moves, and this game was over. And I'm looking at this, and I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. Chris is looking at it. We don't see it. We ask for a hint. And it says, mentions something about sacrifice. Takes a piece and he moves it where it can be taken. In fact, needs to be taken in order to protect the king. And that placement then results in checkmate. A piece needed to be sacrificed. But when I play chess, I don't like to give up pieces. How many of you ever played chess? It's a difficult game. You sit there trying to figure out, if I do this move, then the other person can do that move. That, I mean, how some people can see seven or eight moves down the line, I cannot comprehend because there are so many permutations. But you look at this, and they do it. They play this game. They look at it and say, oh, game's over. It might be seven, eight moves away from checkmate. But the same. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And sometimes that checkmate requires the sacrifice. Now, Simeon is a lot like the chess master who can walk in there and see the chessboard and say, that's the piece, that's the key piece, that's the sacrifice, you put it there, game's over. He looked at Jesus and said, game's over. He's right here. This is the sacrifice, the Messiah. He's not coming as the all-powerful piece that sweeps everything from the board, nothing else can stand in its path, but He comes as the sacrifice. That when He is taken, results in total victory, and actually gets returned to the board. Which is not something that normally happens with a chess piece when it's taken. But in this case, He does. And then He does come back as the unstoppable piece. And Simeon saw this. This is an amazing thing. God had given him that sight to see that piece and say, that's it. That's all that's... Jesus, this little baby, this baby in this mother's arms is coming in to be dedicated in the temple. That is my Messiah. Now, Simeon was specially gifted. What about you and I? We don't have to have that special gift because we've been given a different gift. See, this program that Chris got has another feature in it. It lets you play a piece and it tells you yes or no. Nope, that's a bad move and it tells you why. Well, that's an okay move, but it's not the best move. And again, it tells you why. Until you put it in the right place. It's a great teaching tool. You know what the wonderful thing is? We have the very same teaching tool. We call it a Bible. And we can look at this and it will tell us how and why Jesus is the Messiah. It lays out all the prophecies. All the prophecies are right there. And when we read through the New Testament, we see how Jesus meets those. We have the advantage of looking back at the game. And we can see all the moves that were made. And then we can see which piece is the key piece. And we are left undoubtedly with Jesus Christ being labeled as that key piece. It's Him. And we can see it. And we don't have to see it on our own. We don't have to see it because we are so smart, but because we can go to God our Father who will show us through His Word how it is so. He lays it all out for us right here. Now, for some of you, chess might have been a really, really good example. Maybe for the rest of you, you're going, I don't get it. Well, you and I, we can stand here today, and by looking back through history, we can see that that little corporal writing Mein Kampf was indeed a turning point for the world, for the 20th century. It changed the face of the world. And we can see that from our vantage point, looking back and seeing all the moves. Seeing how the politics happened that led to that very point. But we have the exact same thing. We have the advantage of history. We have the advantage of looking back and seeing what God has done. And we can see that He is the peace. And we need to give Him the recognition that that little baby brings it to checkmate by going to the cross, the sacrifice. And that's the key thing. When we see the sacrifice, is that it's not senseless. It's not a waste. It's the winning move. The sacrifice of Jesus for us was our winning move. We need to thank God for that. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You today that You made the winning move, that You are indeed our the ultimate master, that You looked at the world and the troubles that were before it, and You were able to place all the pieces just so. You were able to introduce Your Son Jesus as the sacrifice that would bring salvation to all. Lord, help us to see through Your wisdom, through the wisdom of Simeon, and through Your Word, that we learn just who Jesus is and the importance of what He did. And during this Christmas season, Lord, why we contemplate upon it. And when we look at Jesus and we look at that sacrifice, might we, Lord, be grateful now. Father, we thank You for Your sacrifice. We thank You that we can see through Your Word this truth. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.